Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Tickets, please.
It's Movie Friday here on The Takeaway when we talk about what's hitting the big screen this weekend with Movie Date co-hosts Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer. Of course, in addition to hosting the Movie Date podcast, Rafer is film critic for Newsday. Kristen is our own culture producer here at The Takeaway. Hi, guys. Thanks for being here.
Happy Friday, hey, Todd.
Great to see you. Let's get right to it with our first movie of the week. Now, this is a romance movie based on a Nicholas Sparks novel. Focuses on two couples, one in modern times, one in a World War II kind of flashback, called The Longest Ride.
Hey, Ruth, I need to ask you something.
Wait. I want a big family, a really big family. Everything that's going on now, I feel this need, this responsibility to bring life back into the world.
Sounds perfect.
You can ask me now.
Rafer, is it perfect?
It's not perfect. It's just a John Sparks. It's a Nicholas Sparks adaptation. I think this one's made with a little more care and attention to detail. You've got Una Chaplin there, granddaughter of Charlie Chaplin. You've got Scott Eastwood, son of Clint Eastwood. The acting is pretty good, but I think ultimately you're still getting a Nicholas Sparks adaptation, which is very gooey and very schmaltzy.
Kristen Meinzer, I'm getting the feeling this is your kind of film.
I usually love a good tear-jerking romance, but this was not gooey enough. And I hate to say it, but I did not cry once during this movie.
Oh, no.
I love to cry. I want to see the full explosion of romance. I want to see love lost, love won. And I just felt that this ran way too long. And while it looked pretty good, as Rafer's saying, it just didn't pack the emotional punch. And yeah,
gooey, but not quite gooey enough for Kristen. Let's move on to our second movie from Noah Baumbach. This one stars Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, Adam Driver, Amanda Seyfried. It's about a 40-something couple that makes friends with a couple of 20-somethings. It's called While We're Young.
We met this interesting couple, Jamie and Darby. He's a young documentarian, and she makes ice cream.
I don't know what to make of them, honestly. I like her.
They make everything. It's infectious. For about 12 hours, I thought I could build my own desk.
Kristen Meinzer, this is 40, the story of a 40-year-old couple is now interacting with some younger people.
Yeah, and I feel that this movie's probably targeting me as a New Yorker who doesn't have kids, who's the same age as this couple. But I feel that they didn't quite get it right because the younger couple, rather than seeming 15 years younger than them, seems 50 years younger than them. And everyone's wildly self-unaware and mostly irritating. I, in the end, didn't love this movie.
Rafer.
I mean, this hits me pretty much exactly where it counts. I pretty much am Ben Stiller, except I don't have his career. But it did. I agree with Kristen. It didn't quite hit me on an emotional level, more on an intellectual level. But I did enjoy it quite a bit. And Adam Driver and Ben Stiller as these kind of multi-generational doppelgangers are actually really fun.
Yeah, and it's easy to see how they could pull that off in a spectacular way. Well, let's talk about a third movie. This is Ex Machina. This is exciting. It stars Oscar Isaac as a brilliant and reclusive robot inventor and Domhnall Gleeson as a naive programmer brought in to test Isaac's latest invention.
Do you know what the Turing test is?
It's when a human interacts with a computer. And if the human doesn't know they're interacting with a computer, the test is passed.
And what does the pass tell us?
That the computer has artificial intelligence. Are you building an AI?
I've already built one.
Now, rather than have Rafer and Kristen review Ex Machina, we have something special. Kristen, you sat down with Oscar Isaac this week to talk about Ex Machina as well as artificial intelligence more broadly.
Yeah, and I have to first of all say Oscar Isaac was incredible. He was smart. He was a lot of fun. And one of the first things we really got into was the whole idea of this robot Ava he invents being so sexy.
You have to remember this is the character Nathan. You know, he is a dark figure. He is okay ushering in the end of civilization. And again, he's up there by himself. And this speaks to his sexual proclivities. And there's a phenomenon that happens when this machine becomes self-aware. It wants to escape. That's the first thing that happens. So I think he believes that the better he makes the model, the better it'll be at trying to escape. And one of these days, when he makes it so good, so intelligent, it will escape.
Is that the goal, do you think? Or do you think the goal is that he wants to make the ultimate robot who will never want to escape?
I think he knows that it's a matter of time. I mean, he says that there, one of these days, don't feel bad for the AIs. They're going to look back on us like primitive animals with crude language and tools. So he knows that that's coming. I think to get back to the sexuality thing, for him, and this is an argument in the film, he says he makes the argument that you cannot have consciousness without sexuality, because at the root of consciousness is interaction, and sexuality is quite an interaction. So he makes them sexual by design, and who's going to interact with them sexually? He's the only guy up there. He's the only person there. So he has sex with these robots in order to enlighten them. Or so he believes.
So he believes.
Yes, but they're actually trapped. They're trapped there. And it does bring up the idea, if we get to the point where we can make a machine that seems to be self-aware, what rights does it then have?
But then won't they all just take over, just like the movie speculates, and just as movies have speculated for decades and decades, the fear of the robot takeover.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, there's some very serious scientific thinkers that believe that we have to caution with that. You know, we have to have caution when we do that. But there's also optimists that believe as our machines become more powerful, we also will become more machine with nanotechnology, with, you know, who knows, downloading our brains into certain, software. And history has shown us that we don't really have control over the things we make. And that's something that we've been grappling with as humans for a long time. I mean, that's why the Frankenstein tale, you know, all these tales, you know, we see that with industry, with the system, economic system, social systems that we create. You know, we kind of give over to them, and then we become, to a certain extent, enslaved by them.
That's Oscar Isaac, Golden Globe nominated star of Inside Llewyn Davis, A Most Violent Year, and the upcoming Star Wars films. His newest film in limited release today is called Ex Machina. Now, Kristen, you can hear the rest of your interview with Oscar Isaac on next week's podcast. Please tell me that there's at least one Star Wars clue in the interview.
There sure is. And by Star Wars clue, I mean not really. I did ask him about Star Wars. And so we're airing that next week, the full interview, rather than this week. And that's because this week we have our Kristen Stewart interview where she's talking about The Clouds of Sils Maria. And we were thrilled to talk with her. So listen to that on this week's podcast.
We sat down with Kristen Stewart for this week. Oscar Isaac will be next week with no Star Wars clues, unfortunately. But I'm still going to listen anyway because it's a fascinating interview. It would have been that much better with Star Wars because we're all waiting for him in that. But Oscar Isaac is phenomenal in that. Kristen Meinzer sat down with both of them. Kristen Meinzer is our Movie Date co-host and culture producer here at The Takeaway. Rafer Guzman, the other co-host and film critic at Newsday. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Todd.